welcome to Philanthropy Today. We are excited to share information on ways you can support the charitable causes of your choice. My name is Vern Hendricks, and I look forward to being with you today on our GMCF Philanthropy Today podcast series. Welcome again to the GMCF Philanthropy Today podcast series. We're continuing our efforts to visit with individuals that are cornerstone winners from our 25-year history of the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. And one of those awardees today is Mr. Bill Richter. So, Bill, welcome.
Thank you, Vern.
We look forward to getting to know you a little bit more today and your history and what got you to this philanthropic career. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about yourself and your career and what you've done even before today.
Well, I was a faculty member at K-State. My wife Linda and I came here in 1966 to be involved with the development of a South Asia Center at Kansas State University. And we didn't expect to stay long, but we ended up spending our whole careers here. Retired in 2008. And have very much appreciated K-State as an institution and Manhattan as a community.
Excellent. Who's had the biggest impact on your life in just your professional or personal life?
My wife, Linda.
Very good.
In many ways, including in giving. She's a very generous person. And a lot of our involvement with charitable organizations has developed jointly between us. We have similar interests, but not the same. She's interested in some things more than I am, and I am other things more than she is. But I've been inspired by her example.
Excellent. Well, that makes for a great philanthropic partnership for sure.
It does.
So what do you like to do when you're not teaching or investing or working with charitable causes? What do you like to do on your free time?
Well, as you may recall, I enjoy sports. I'm fortunate to still be able to enjoy tennis. I enjoy puzzles. I meet very few Sudoku games that I'm willing to ignore.
Yeah.
I like to do puzzles. One of the things I've very much enjoyed in retirement has been involvement with the Community Foundation. I enjoy Rotary and what it does in the world, and enjoy the fellowship of Rotary. I have a coffee group I meet with weekly. I have a book club that meets monthly. I'm very fortunate to have friends and stimulation of that sort.
Cool. Do you remember what the first charitable cause that you got involved with and what inspired you to get involved with them?
No. But I think a few years ago, I happened upon some old tax returns, and I'd made a $10 donation to my alma mater. And I'm sure that before that was church giving.
So to even bring that a little closer to home, and maybe it's the same answer, but what was the first Manhattan charity that you really got involved with?
We're members of the Congregational Church, and so that has been an involvement. Over the years, I've been fortunate to be involved with UFM, to serve on its board. Served on the board of the Ecumenical Campus Ministries and United Way. It's tough thinking back to the 1960s and remembering what other charities I might have been involved with at that time.
Well, you represent the type of charitable individual that it's not what you aspire to get involved with. It's just your natural love and interest in making a difference and associations you have with people. That's one of the things that I'm sure stuck out in the committees when they selected you as an awardee for the Cornerstone Awards. My hat's off to you for that. So is there a charitable activity, gift, or involvement with a board that has been the most meaningful that you can think of that's really given you a warm heart in your involvement?
Well, there are certainly organizations that I have at times been moved to tears to hear what they do. The Crisis Center, for instance. They're organizations that simply save lives by their work. And so even though I haven't been personally involved in any other way but being a donor, I find organizations like that to be very appealing.
So in the process of your work in Manhattan, you've lived here a long time. You've known a lot of people. You've been a part of several charitable conversations, whether it be on boards or just in committees. How did you first learn about the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation, and what inspired you to be involved with the Community Foundation?
I think that I may have heard about the foundation as it was being created. I remember first being interested in involvement through Tom Fryer. We were on the UFM board together. and he had become involved with actively with the foundation. And I don't exactly remember the sequence of events. I got involved with a matching grant from the Kansas Health Foundation called Grow2.
Yep.
And so that's how I got more actively involved, was helping to shepherd the matching grant through.
So in those early days of those Grow matching grants, and just for our listeners, the Kansas Health Foundation challenged community to start community foundations, and the Grow funds were an endeavor to get them to create endowed funds so that there would be some sustainability to that. And so the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation was involved in three Grow grants, the Grow 1, Grow 2, and that whole process. And so it was an integral part of our beginning, and that's what you're referring to there.
Exactly.
So what are your thoughts on being a cornerstone awardee?
Well, as you know, my first thought was puzzlement.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people who have been beneficial to the Community Foundation and to the community through the Community Foundation that I guess my thought now is it's a real honor to be thought to be included among them. It is, it's gratefulness and respect for the other people who've, because I know now who else is being honored, and many of the people that I thought should be honored have been.
Right.
And that, I think it was a very thoughtful gesture on your part and the board's part to make that recognition.
Well, it was quite the process. You know, when we were going into this and we asked our trustees and young trustees and community members, hey, who's been the most influential people in 25 years of the Community Foundation? It was very enlightening and gratifying to see the names that were a part of that. And obviously, you were on the board when I first came to the Community Foundation, and it's been a joy to work with you. But so many of you are so humble that you never sought out to make a name for yourself. It was all about what's in it for the community and how can I better serve the community. And so it's almost a common theme from all of you. Well, why am I getting this award? And so I think it's a testament to who you are and others are, because you didn't seek the recognition. It came to you because of the results, which is great.
I'm glad to know others may be puzzled too.
Yeah. So what recommendation would you have to others when making a charitable gift? I know we've talked many times, charitable gift annuities is some of your gifting vehicles that you've been very popular for. And we actually started the charitable gift annuity program when you were on the board here at the Community Foundation. So what would you advise others when they're thinking about getting into being a charitable individual?
Actually, we started before I was on the board.
Yeah, probably so, yeah.
What I have advised others and would advise others is not to think of charitable giving as giving, but as having an opportunity to participate in something that is bigger than ourselves. And if I make a gift to the Crisis Center, for instance, that's not taking money from me. That is having an opportunity to help them help people who need the help. So part of it, I think, is just simply the way in which we look at charitable giving. Secondly, there are so many neat ways to give, and being aware of them can open up all sorts of possibilities. Yeah, donor advised funds, which the Community Foundation has, charitable gift annuities, charitable remainder trusts, donating appreciated securities, and each of those things can be beneficial to the donor as well as to the organizations that receive the funding.
Excellent. So you've mentioned many organizations and groups in town, and to put you on the spot a little bit, you know, for our listeners, who all have you been involved with in your memory that you can think of that you've been on the board or served or given to in your history? I think they'd like to know that.
I mentioned the Congregational Church, and I served on the Board of Trustees there, which I served for several years as a department head and in other administrative roles at K-State, and I found that serving on the Board of Trustees was good training for an administrative role. You learn a lot about budgeting. You learn a lot about other administrative activities that are beneficial. I mentioned earlier serving on the board of the what is now the Kansas United Way. Mm-hmm. It's an organization that it has a community-wide impact, has a multi-county impact. And that really involved me it has a very special mode of fundraising, which is much more based upon employment and as an education itself. When I was on the board of the UFM, we changed the name again. It, as you probably know, it began as University for Man.
Right.
At one point, they thought that was a little too sexist, so it became University for Mankind. And then we decided that was still a little too sexist, and so we spent at least one or two meetings brainstorming on what might be, what could the initials UFM stand for? Unfunded mandate? we had a whole range of things. So finally, we decided, well, let's just keep the initials UFM and add to it a description. So it's now the UFM Community Learning Center, and that provides both a historical connection and a description of what it is. I was only the ECM board for a short time, but during that time we engaged in some strategic planning that made a difference. There must be other, when our kids were in scouts, I was involved with one of the local Boy Scout troops.
Right.
But those are the ones that come to mind most readily.
Excellent. Well, you've had a storied history of involvement, whether you realize it or not. People know Bill Richter in this town for being involved, as well as your editing. You and I have a joke between that for us. But
right.
We've talked about 25 years coming up today for the Community Foundation, and your award, the Cornerstone Award, is your impact during that period. But we now look towards the future, and where do you see the role of the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation moving forward?
Well, the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation has moved forward so much in the last decade in terms of the emphasis on the word greater. Mm-hmm. And when you consider the affiliate community foundations throughout Northeast Kansas, that I think is a tremendous benefit. Right. And I would expect that process of outreach, in effect, to continue and for so that essentially this portion of Kansas will be benefited by the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. I've seen the foundation evolve in its activities, and I think that I see this organization broadening its, being willing to take on larger projects like the child care incubator project and the community cares chest. These are things over and above what any individual or group of individual donors or any individual charitable organization in town would be doing. It benefits them all, but it's something that only an organization as big as the Community Foundation can undertake.
Well, we have a long and storied past, but we've got an exciting and eventful future ahead of us, I'm sure. So we've asked you a lot of questions here today and covered a lot of your history here. Is there anything that you'd like to share that I didn't ask you today for this podcast or for our listeners?
One thing, whenever the subject of charity comes up, I'm reminded of the Latin motto of my alma mater. Probably heard me mention it, but it... Non nobis solum nati sumus. We are not born for ourselves alone, unto ourselves alone. I learned just a few days ago, it's from Cicero. I don't know what speech of his, but I think from my perspective, it's about as valuable a keystone as you could have. It's what makes giving fun, is to think that you might be paying it forward a bit.
Bill, thank you for your time today and your willingness to talk about yourself. I know that's not always comfortable, and your impact and your involvement in the community here, and certainly your time with as a trustee for the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today, where we look inside the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. You can always learn more about GMCF at our website, mcfks.org. We invite you to subscribe to Philanthropy Today wherever you get your podcast. I am Vern Henricks and have enjoyed hosting our Cornerstone Award series in the Ad Astra Cast Studios here in downtown Manhattan, Kansas.